Our theme of Hebrews chapter 12 about the great cloud of witnesses and acknowledge the fact that we who believe have great support. We who believe have great support. Our resurrection faith is what sustains us through all of life's circumstances. We think we have trials and tribulations. But this is nothing compared to risking your life to follow Jesus. This is a picture of Christians who were taken out on a beach and they lost their lives there recently, within the last 10 years. Are you ready for that level of commitment to lose your life for the sake of Jesus? The one thing, though, short of that, is to know that we do have oppression that we experience. And we as Christians can throw them off because we experience our freedom in Christ. And then if we feel all, entangled in sin, if we feel like we're trapped, we have to declare our holy status before God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That we are holy and righteous before God. And that begins to give us a resource to break away from the sins so that we can finish the race that we started the day we believed and allowed Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. That we are believers who have great support, that He will help us finish the race that we have started when we believed in Him. Let us pray. Dear God, as we come to Scripture, we want to be good students of the Bible. We want to be good people of faith who are listening to Your Holy Spirit. And we pray that we may be under conviction and be moved by You, O Lord, to be drawn closer to Your presence, to seek to attain to that great example of the faith, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, and to acknowledge that many people, men and women, fed into our lives and helped us to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. May we be blessed this morning in this time. Bless the thoughts of our hearts and the meditations of our heart. Thoughts of our minds and the meditations of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So the text is this. Hebrews 12, 1-3. It follows chapter 11, which is a great chapter about all the great saints of the Lord and all the things they did and how they committed themselves in spite of all the hardships. And then it says, therefore, because of their examples, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is no dishonored Mother's Day, but we've got a candle that got too low. It was just too short. A lot of wind blowing. So there we are. And what this tackles is the idea of motivation. You know, if you're going to get weary, lose heart, your motivation is going out and it's going low. And so the question is, do you have enough motivation to continue the walk of the Christian faith? Sometimes it can seem like it's a real struggle. You don't have your get up and go, and you maybe feel like you get up and went, and you know, you just crashed out there. You don't have sufficient reason to get out of bed, to dress, to get ready to face the world. There are times like that in our lives. Where do you go to find the support that you need? Well, there's such a thing as sustainable support. And this actually is announcing a course where you can learn to be there for a loved one struggling with mental health. And that is really what we're talking about. If Hebrews is talking about growing weary and losing heart, it's a struggle which is internal in terms of your attitude, in terms of your understanding of the world. So it's a question we encounter as Christians as we remember what Hebrews 12 verse 1 says. Therefore, let's also, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight, or throw off the weight, the things that are burdening us down, and the sin which easily entangles us, it wraps us up, and let's run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let us carry on to the goal, to the end. So the question then is, how do we overcome hindrances and entanglements to our faith? Because the reality is you will experience setbacks, and sometimes you will experience low valleys of doubt and despair. You will face uncertainty, and you will sometimes experience a feeling as though you are being buffeted by rough winds and rough waves, like this beachfront, under perhaps typhoon force winds, battering those trees. That's sometimes how we feel. There will be times when you are simply wrapped up in sin, and it takes hold of you, and it kind of binds you. It makes you feel like you're not going to break free. Romans 6, verse 6 says, sin will enslave you. It will entrap you like this. And perhaps some of the analogies we can say, it'd be like swimming in seaweed. If you go swimming in seaweed, it can begin to wrap itself around you, and you feel like you're going to be pulled under by it. Or perhaps you're trying to run a race in the weeds, and the weeds are beginning to hinder you, and they're making it hard for you to move and get through. Or perhaps you sometimes feel as though you're being attacked by an octopus, with all of its tentacles gripping you and making you feel as though you're helpless. How do you find a way to cut through these entanglements, to break sin of its power and its effect over you, and get out from under what perhaps feels like a smothering blanket, and find your stride so that you can finish the race you are busy with, the enduring and persevering breakthrough of faith, running the race of faith and having the strength to overcome the gaps, to be able to break free of the hindrances, to be able to run free? And what Hebrews 12, 1-3 says, one of the keys is remembering your position. What is your position? Psalm 25, verse 3 reminds us, no one whose hope is in God is ever put to shame. No one whose hope is in Christ is going to be thwarted. He will help you break through. The position you're in as a Christian is you are not standing alone, but you are supported by a tremendous team that are under you. They are holding you up. They're behind you, cheering you on. They are beside you, offering encouragement. And this picture reminds us of the great cloud of witnesses, which include Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, the Exodus experience, Joshua, Gideon, Solomon, David, Esther, Elijah, Daniel. Then you can add to that list the Christians you've known that have shown their light into your hearts, that have shown you an example of someone who's persevering and breaking through, one who is carrying on no matter what. No one wins without their team. Hillary and I love to keep up to date with tennis. And no tennis champion ever says, yay, I did it on my own. No, they're actually supported by a whole team. They have coaches, they have family support, and their individual support, you know, in singles tennis, men or women's, they win. They acknowledge the fact that many have helped them get there. Or a bicycling person, you know, who's going to make their way through the Tour de France up and down the mountains and through plains and on long distance. They're supported by a team which stay with them and help them get through it. That's who we are as Christians. We are in this position where we have a great team around us. They can be both living saints and the saints who have passed on before. They are here to help us. This great cloud of witnesses that went on before you are already now translated from this earthly framework into a heavenly one, the ones who have died anyway. And the Lord Jesus, our Redeemer and our Lord, has gone to prepare a place for you and for me, and will take us to be with him forever, he has promised. And what we do, and one of the keys to breaking free, is we surrender. In a real sense, faith is total surrender to God. Martin Luther King Jr., great quote of his. In a real sense, faith is total surrender to God. You need to say, I am at my end. Lord, you take it from there. You know, I'm a person like the swimmer in the seaweed. I'm like the runner in the weeds. I'm like the person wrapped up by the octopus. I am in need, oh God. Please help me. And in that place of asking for help, the scriptures remind us and promises, those who place their hope in the Lord shall not be let down. They shall not be, God will not fail you. And when we confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, it secures us a place in the heavenly realms. As Ephesians 2 verse 6 reminds us, God raises us up in the idea of his resurrection. We had the empty tomb in here before. But he raises us up with Christ and seats us with him in the heavenly realms. We are seated with Jesus Christ, who's seated at the right hand of God on the throne, and he's there to help us and provide us all the resources we need. He ensures that once our life has finished, our life, once we expire, we are just beginning our joy in heaven. So wonderful that Alana could play Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You. Wonderful that we can remember that Bill Wood, our faithful servant in the music department for many, many years here at Faith, is translated into heaven and is there to cheer us on, is to encourage us, to be with us, to help us, support us. When we feel as though we're buffeted by the winds and the waves, we feel as though we're in the valley low down. They're there to help us. Because you have all the resources you need to live a godly life. The scriptures, the Holy Spirit, the heavenly saints, the realm of those who are around us, the cloud of witnesses, the congregation of Jesus Christ who comes here to encourage you and support you and lift you up in our prayers and in our singing and in our giving our hearts to the Lord. You have all the resources you need to live a life according to heavenly standards here on earth. You do not have to despair. You don't have to think, I'm not going to be good enough. You just need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to walk this walk with you one step at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. It's a simple prayer, but it's effective. Because we don't want to look too far down the road. We want to just run that next little bit. You ask somebody who's running a marathon, when is it that you hit your wall? You know, it's basically an endurance test. And they will hit a wall where they feel like this is it. Maybe if it's 10 miles of a 25-mile race, they're going to hit a wall, and then they're going to need to break through that wall to carry on. They do a lot of training, they do a lot of extra running to be able to get through, but you cannot predict in the race what's going to happen to that runner. Cramp could take hold in the leg, and it could really hold you up. Or you need to be sure that you have the water, and the water stations are placed throughout a marathon to help you get through. So may God provide you the water you need. May this be a watering place, Faith Presbyterian Christian Reformed Church. May it always continue to be a watering place. Now Jesus knows what it's like
to face powerful opposition
from sinners. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Think about all Jesus endured when sinful people did such terrible things to him, so that you do not become weary and give up.
Jesus went through all those things to be able to help us identify with him, to know that he went through that valley. He felt buffeted by the winds and the waves, so that he can help us do the same, to break through. He promises us a support team from heaven, saints and angels behind us 1,000%. And we have our Lord himself, who scorned the shame of the cross in order to be the sin offering that we needed to be made righteous before God, to be made worthy of him, and to be included in his kingdom. And the humiliation Jesus endured was as humiliating as it gets. Almost like the end of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I want to draw an example from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, because there he was in World War II, a German Christian pastor living in Germany, and a year before the end of the war, he was locked up in jail. And he was there in jail praying and worshiping and as an example to the guards, and he was getting letters, writing letters, and all these things. But then in April 1945, almost the time of VE Day, the victory in Europe was going to happen in the early May, maybe a week before the end, he was on a list because there was a plot to assassinate the Führer, Adolf Hitler, and he was implicated in that, and anybody who had any connection at all was going to be executed before the end of the war. And that's what happened to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Christian man who had followed Jesus Christ. He had been living in the United States before, as World War II broke out, as it was beginning. And they said in the States, stay here, you'll be safe if you stay here. And he said, no, I have to go back to Germany. I have to serve my fellow Christians there. And he went back, and he was executed just before the end of the war. He bore the shame himself of being a prisoner, of being a person who was on a death list. He had endured that shame to follow Christ. And you know that Jesus had prepared a place for him in heaven, and that when he died, he entered into the heavenly realms. He began to live a life of joy in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. See, Jesus had his vision. He knew that he was going to be with the Father. He knew he was going to be joined together in the joy of heaven, that this death he was dying was only a temporary thing. It was a finality in that he died, but it was what he had to go through in order to reach this joy of being in heaven with his Father and begin to bring all of his people home to him in heaven to be with him. Jesus goes to prepare a place for you and for me. And so he endured the cross. He scorned its shame. He faced all the mockings, the fake crown of thorns, the abuse of putting purple robes on him, saying to him, if you're a god, or you're a son of God, or you're a prophet, please, who hit you? If you're a prophet, they were mocking him as the king of the Jews. And he was a despised and humiliated figure, which this painting illustrates so clearly. There they are. They're just mocking and laughing and, you know, just grinding him into the dirt, as they say. Yet, Jesus became the one who is seated at the right hand of God on the throne of heaven. He illustrates to us trusting God, his perfect Father. And he is seated at the right hand of God on the throne of heaven. Now, I kind of decided to ask a simple question. Which God is Jesus with? And then I thought, well, some actors have played God in the movies, you know. Is our God like George Burns? Is our God like Morgan Freeman? Is our God like Richard Pryor? And my point is, not at all. Our God, you know, these actors have acted roles in a dramatic setting to be able to portray God in some way. I never worry about that. I never want to attack or condemn it. I mean, this is drama. But it's, don't let it be a distraction. Our God is the Father God who welcomed Jesus home. Our God is the one in whom we place our trust like a father. And if you want to find direction in your life, tune into the kindness of God for your journey. Because the Lord Jesus, our Father in heaven, our God, that we worship and place our trust in, is like the one who keeps the rudder straight. You know, you ever seen, watch those sailing boats racing in the wind on the America's Cup or something like that? The big yachts. Or if you look at the big ships that come into our port with our containers, what keeps them straight? Well, their rudder. They're kept straight by the rudder. Well, that's the same thing. Turn to our God as our Creator and Redeemer and tune into Him in His kindness for your journey of faith, because He will help you find your way through thick and thin, through the obstacles, and He will free you from the entanglements of sin. And Jesus will establish for us humans in His human self how to be tuned into God the Father in trust and faith. Jesus goes on to establish that faith without wavering. Yes, He does go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He wrestles with this cup of suffering. And He says, you know, God, if it's your will, please take it away from me. But God does not take it away. And Jesus says, finally, I must drink it. Your will be done. And He persevered in His faith. And He trusted God. And He knew God was working in His kindness to bring about His amazing grace for us to be made available to us. So as Jesus was determined and persevering in His trust in God, so should we. Persevering and determined in our trust in God. Because it's not in vain, and it's not without the resources we need, the support we need to carry through to the very end. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, O God, that You are the God who sets our rudder straight. You are a God who transcends all earthly conditions. You transcend even being in the midst of a typhoon Mawar and all of its amazing, powerful winds, Lord. You are a God who is above all those things. A God above all the turning of the world and all of its turmoil and its wars and fights and its earthquakes and natural disasters. Lord, You are above and beyond. We thank You for that. You are above and beyond. And those circumstances we endure may be difficult and hard. Just as Jesus, help us to see with a vision that we are trusting in a God who brings us home, who knows how to give us all the resources to live as Jesus lived, to be able to have You cut away all of the things that entangle us. That You are a God who is able to take the heavy weight of blankets and remove them from us, so we are set free and experience freedom in Christ. Thank You, Lord, that we can come here together to confess that we are wanting to be as determined and persevering as Dietrich Bonhoeffer was. Facing death, he just kept on confessing You as his Lord and Savior. His faith kept looking up to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.